Hey now, Semper Fi off and running here in our Thursday edition of Sports Talk. Each and every week, we're at Hooters on Vets in Metairie, our home during the football season on Thursday nights. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Larry Holder covering the Saints and the LSU Tigers for the Athletic will join us at 435. Our view from Vegas tonight at 510 with Vegas Runner, Pro Better, and Handicapper at thebigmoves.com. And yes, I will give VR a little bit of grief over that Bengals Saints pick last week. That was a bludgeoning. View from Vegas, though, coming up at 5:10. 6 o'clock tonight, Zach Strief, former Saint and current play-by-play voice of the Saints, will join us for the Saints for the Players Show. And look, the truth of the matter is that the Saints are in very much routine-based modes, and they have dinners on Thursday night, player dinners, et cetera. So a little bit of a snag this week in trying to get some of those players over here. Our Fantasy Frenzy with Kevin Payne in the 7 o'clock hour. Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll online for you at WWL.com. Do you believe in the Vegas jinx? The reason why I'm asking this question is now Las Vegas has the Saints as the co-favorites to win the Super Bowl with the L.A. Rams. Do you believe in a Vegas jinx? 504-260-1870. Also looking ahead to Saints and Eagles on Sunday, 325 kickoff right here on WWL. And I'm looking at it, 4-5, they're the defending Super Bowl champions. You're hearing things come out of that building up there in Philadelphia about accountability, and players are talking about what needs to happen, and Doug Peterson being pretty candid, saying, hey, they're close. They're banged up on defense, especially in the secondary. This team makes you nervous, though, because this time of year, when you start getting in the middle of November, teams like the Eagles, who have a championship pedigree, recognize the urgency that comes with a 4-5 record and trying to dispel the notion of a Super Bowl hangover and get back into the playoffs at 4-5. They're backed into a corner. These are dangerous type of games, dangerous teams. Now, I still think, without a doubt right now, the Saints are better, but those are teams that you look at it, you go 4-5, you know they have a lot of pride because of the defending Super Bowl champions. But this is a game that you look at and go, 8.5-point spread? Would not be surprised if the Eagles make this a better game. Not saying they're going to beat the Saints, but I wouldn't be surprised. It's just one of those deals where you start hearing all these things. It's the frustration's kind of bubbling up to the surface in Philadelphia. And it's not unlike teams to do this, where the frustration reaches this point, and all of a sudden they go out and notch a big win or a big performance that kind of validates that, hey, they're back in the game, if you will. So watch out this Sunday for the Eagles. I don't think it's going to be quite that 8.5-9-point spread that Vegas and the professional bettors and handicappers have it at. They know their business better than I do. But I just think that this is a motivated, kind of an angry Eagles team. We'll see. The Saints are certainly 8.5 points better when you consider the injuries that the Eagles have had. They're playing guys off the street in the secondary. Their D-line is where it's at. Teron Armstead, by the way, did not practice again today. Marcus Davenport for the Saints also did not practice. A little banged up on the left side of that offensive line. What will be interesting to see is what do the Saints do this week? Last week it was an injury in a Bengals game. Teron Armstead goes out. Will you just slide Jermon Bushrod over there at left tackle? Will they move Andrus Peat, kick him out to left tackle, and put Bushrod at guard? That's where he's comfortably played the last handful of years. Or will they continue to keep Bushrod at left tackle? I think they're going to slide him inside and make Andrus Peat play left tackle. I don't know. Find out on Sunday. But he's played there before. They've done that before. I think that given a full week to prepare, that gives him an opportunity to do so. Also, Brandon Marshall in the mix for the Saints. How much do you expect out of him on Sunday? A package of plays. I think he's going to be suited up. I think he's going to play a package of plays. But the good thing about him, he's been in the league so long, he can pick this offense up pretty quickly. And also with Mark Trestman up there, when he was the head coach of Chicago, when Marshall was there, they were running the same kind of stuff that Sean Payton is running now. Similar concepts. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Do you believe in the Vegas curse? Coming back for Daryl in Mid-City and you two next here on Sports Talk on WWL, live from Hooters on Vets in Metairie. Our view from Vegas with VR coming up at 5:10. Vegas Runner, Pro Sports Better, and Handicapper. Daryl in Mid-City. What's going on, Daryl? You're on Sports Talk on WWL.
Hey, my brother. Semper Fi, man.
Semper Fi.
Yeah, say, listen, so here's the deal. I know this is going to sound real homerish, but you got to understand something. I've always been very objective about the Saints. or at least as I got older, I finally got objective about him. Even in 2009, I was waiting for the other shoe to fall. And, of course, it never did, and we won the Super Bowl. Not this year, my brother. There is no Vegas curse. The Saints, it would be a major upset if the Saints do not win the Super Bowl. Okay, any game they play from here on out, anybody beats them, it's an upset. They probably will have the division sewed up by the time they play their last three, the two Carolina games sandwiched around the Pittsburgh game. You know, I'm kind of hoping that Carolina keeps it going until then, because that'll give the Saints something to play for. Because I'm going to tell you something the Saints have never done in their entire history. This is something that probably nobody even really knows or has ever kept track of. The Saints have never had the best record in the entire National Football League all by themselves at any point during the season. Now, next week, either Los Angeles or Kansas City is going to lose.
Hold on, Darryl. What do you mean? Explain that.
During the regular season, the Saints have started off 13-0. The year they started out 13-0, Indianapolis went 14-0.
Okay. Now, I got what you're saying. Okay.
At no point during the regular season have the Saints ever had the very best record out of every single team in the National Football League, all by themselves. They've been tied for the best record, but they've never had it by themselves. I expect them this year for them to do that. So keep an eye on that, because I'm going to tell you something. You can check this, but I'm going to tell you something. You're hearing it from me first. That has never, ever, ever happened in the entire history of the New Orleans Saints. But this year it will. And look, man, like I said, it will be a major upset if we lose if we lose to any team and don't win the Super Bowl. That's how good we are.
Let me explain. I don't refute any of that, man. I think the Saints are the best team in the NFL, certainly in the NFC. Let me explain something to you about the Vegas curse. The preseason favorite usually ends up being a bad bet. The kind of favorite, the favorite that kind of comes on, you know, weeks 2 and 3, and here we are week 10, week 11, when the odds change like that, it typically goes their way. It's usually a safe bet. That's why I don't really believe in the Vegas curse at this point. But if you were talking to me in the preseason, if the Saints been the preseason favorite to win the Super Bowl, I probably would cringe at that, just because it typically it's a losing bet, Darryl.
Well, you know, and I don't disagree with that one. Now, that right there I'll go with. But at this point of the season, after watching, having to say, of course, I said at the beginning of the season the Saints were going to win the Super Bowl. I honestly believed that we had the best team. And after the first week, I looked like an idiot. Even after the Browns, I was like, boy, what am I thinking? You know, but now the train is rolling. They're unstoppable. You know, the Eagles, look, I know you're worried about the points. And, look, I don't care if the Saints only win by one, because I don't bet. But they should beat the Eagles by 3 touchdowns.
I don't know about 3 touchdowns. Anyway, but Darryl, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it, certainly. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Charles in Mandeville. What's going on, Charles? You're on Sports Talk on WWL. Hey, Charles. All right, put Charles back on hold. Try to reconnect with him. Looking at some of the numbers, you know, you might be listening to this and going, gosh, Christian, how can you say they're unstoppable? Or how can folks say that they are unstoppable? Because they truly are. Look at the numbers, kind of bear it out. The Saints are scoring on 61% of their offensive possessions. Compare that to 2009 when they won it all. They were scoring on 42% of their offensive drives. 2011, when they had that record-setting offense, they were operating at 51% scoring drives at that clip. You're doing 62% or 61%, I mean, in the NFL? That's unheard of. It's just simply unheard of. The numbers, look at the time of possession, their ability to run the football. They are, I think, the most balanced team in the National Football League. Sure, the Chiefs and Rams can sling it. So can the Saints. Saints can certainly run the ball. So can the Rams. Chiefs are good too, but they're just balanced. How often have we seen them this year get into a four-minute offense at the start of the fourth quarter? Over this five-game stretch here, including Cincinnati, their average margin of victory is 16 points. Think about that. The average margin of victory across the NFL is 3.5 to 4 points, week in and week out. And they're beating teams by 2 touchdowns on average over the last 5 games. That doesn't happen very often. And that's why when you look at this, I know the old adage of, well, defense wins championships, offense wins games, I think you flip that now. In today's NFL, because of the rules, the offense, this offense is good enough to win a championship. The defense is just good enough to go along for the ride and be a part of it and make some plays and win some games along the way. I don't buy the whole deal of, oh, well, eventually that defense is going to come back and haunt them. Well, it might, but if they're scoring at the rate that they're scoring, 96 points in the last two games, a franchise record, the Saints might not lose a game for the rest of the year if they continue to operate now. It's hard to imagine that scoring on 61% of your drives is sustainable. But with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, you don't ever count them out. Josh in Covington, what's going on, Josh? You're on WWL.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to ask, with as well as the offense is doing so far this season, why don't you think we've seen more production from Tre'Quan Smith?
You know, because he's a young guy still trying to find his way in this league, still trying to find his way in this offense. I mean, if I'm putting it blunt to you, you'll see moments where he does well. That's all the more reason why they went out and signed Dez Bryant and ultimately signed Brandon Marshall this week, because they don't want to go into the stretch run of the regular season or into the playoffs and have teams successfully be able to take away Mike Thomas and Alvin Kamara and not have an answer.
So you think it's more a matter of experience, not
yes.
lack of talent?
No, it's certainly not lack of talent. It's certainly not lack of talent. It's just getting on the same page with Drew, understanding the offense, finding your way in this league.
Okay. Well, thanks. I just want to know your opinion on that.
You bet, Josh. Thanks for the phone call. CJ and Chalmette, what's going on, CJ? You're on Sports Talk on WWL.
Hey, man, thanks for listening. Why does the Saints defer on a kickoff if they score 60% of the time on offense? To me, it don't make sense.
Well, because I think you want to maybe get a stop early and then go out there and score again. On your first, it makes sense to me because they've been so good at opening drive scoring points this year that why not defer? But they've lost, if memory serves, they've lost the last three or four coin tosses and have been on the receiving side because that's the strategy. If you can defer now, then you get the ball coming out of the second half, and that's such a huge possession. That possession to start the second half, if you've been behind by a lot or you're ahead by a lot, it's an opportunity to kind of get it, almost steal a possession, if you will, and change the momentum of a game. We've seen it a lot in the NFL, seen it a whole lot in the NFL over the last couple of years where that team, especially, and the Saints are really good at this, in two-minute offense, if they get a possession before the half, you're double-dipping because if you score before the half and you get the ball back coming out of the locker room, that's 14 points. That's huge. That's why.
All right, the way the Saints score, let's say that the opponent team scores first. Now we're behind 7 points. The way we score, and we ought to take the ball and go ahead and score and get the lead right away.
But CJ, hear me out though. It all comes down to the idea that you can steal an extra possession before the half and coming out of the locker room. What I mean is, as good as the Saints are offensively, yes, but scoring, go look at it in the NFL. Scoring before a half or coming out of the locker room to start the second half are vital. It usually means winning football. If you can score before the half and get the football back and score again coming out of the locker room, it's significant in going a long way and trying to get a W. The stats bear it out.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the answer.
You bet, CJ. Coming back after our CBS News update, Larry Holder of The Athletic covering LSU and the Saints. LSU taking on Rice for Senior Day. 18 seniors will be honored down there in Baton Rouge tomorrow, Saturday at 6:30. They kick off against the Owls. 44-point favorites are the Tigers over Rice. Then they wrap up the season the following week in College Station against Texas A&M. On pace to win 10 games for the Tigers. Not bad, not bad at all. Still number 7 in the country. We'll visit with Larry Holder next here on WWLAMFMN.com. Our home each and every Thursday night during the football season. Hooters on Vets and Metairie. Saints Players Show coming up at 6 o'clock. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Larry Holder covering the LSU Tigers and the New Orleans Saints for The Athletic. At Larry Holder on Twitter. Larry, good to talk to you again, man.
Hey, what's up, Christian?
Not a lot, man. Looking forward to this weekend in particular. It's going to be a yawn fest down there in Baton Rouge. LSU should handle Rice pretty easily. But the Philadelphia Eagles coming to town, 4-5, kind of a wounded animal. Does that concern you a little bit?
I would say a little bit, and yet I feel like when
whenever we talk about, oh, all right, somebody's wounded or this could be a trap game, yada, yada, that the Saints avoid all of this and they just go out, take care of business. And I honestly just assume that that's going to happen against the Eagles. But I just think the Saints overall and every aspect of their team are basically playing better than the Eagles are right now. And you think about it, they're kind of going through that Super Bowl hangover that a lot of teams endure. And remember back, the Saints, you know, they kind of sputtered a little bit after winning the Super Bowl, but managed to get back to the playoffs. But, I mean, look, also you can't discount that the Eagles last year played a last-place schedule. This year they're playing a first-place schedule. So maybe they're just somewhere in between being Super Bowl champion and last-place team. And I think we're seeing it right now this year.
Teron Armstead has been so good at left tackle, ranked by PFF as the best tackle in all of football this year. If you're the Saints, do you kick Andrews Pete out to left tackle and put Bushrod at guard, or you leave Bushrod at left tackle?
No, I would put Bushrod at left tackle. And it's not like we haven't seen him play that position before in the past. And I feel like Pete is up comfortable at that guard spot. But do I think Jermon Bushrod, there's a reason why he's a backup now? Because, you know, he's really not the same player he once was. So I feel like, and I actually caught up with Jermon Bushrod today. He's ready to go if need be, which we all assume he's going to be playing because of Armstead's injury. And so I think the Saints will put him at left tackle. And yet I'm curious to see if they alter some of the things they do, cater it more to the right side of the line. But that's certainly the stronger side with Ryan Ramczyk and Larry Warford over there.
Larry Holder of The Athletic here on Sports Talk, at Larry Holder on Twitter. Tell me if this is too much hyperbole for you. All right, pump the brakes if you will, Larry. So right now the Saints are playing so well that the only team that can beat them is themselves. Would you agree with that?
I would. Look, they beat the Rams. That would be the one team I thought that they could beat them if they ever played the Chiefs. I think that might be a toss-up game, but I feel like the rest of the schedule, can you see maybe a pitfall or two? Sure, but the Saints don't make many mistakes, and I feel like that's been the number one thing. They don't make many mistakes with the football, and they've made fewer mistakes on defense than we've seen earlier in the season. And, yeah, I think the Saints can beat any team and any venue in the NFL. And yet if they make mistakes, it would be on them. I don't think a team is going to just outshoot them. I think they would have to slip up a few times in a game for them to go down at this point.
Yeah, think about what you just said there, that they can go on in any venue and beat any NFL team. A handful of years ago, you wouldn't say that about the Saints just because they weren't able to run the football, and that's the reason why you can say it now, Larry.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, they went up front, and I think that's been the biggest difference maker. If you win up front, doesn't matter where you're playing. You protect Drew Brees, and then you make things happen for the defense. And so it's I definitely wouldn't be able to say it. But, I mean, they've proven it. They can go win in a little chilly environment. They can win indoors in another venue. They can win it, obviously, at home. So this Saints team, there's a reason why myself and other media outlets have been pegged as the best team in the NFL right now.
Larry, how excited are you to cover LSU and Rice, man?
Well, I'm not going to be, so I'm actually very excited. No, look at the slate of games this weekend. Look at the top 10. It's like everyone's playing. It's like cupcake central until you get to that final weekend of conference play for a lot of teams. So, yeah, we would assume that LSU could kind of right some of the wrongs that they've been doing lately. But, you know, what was it? Who did they play? They won 31-0, and it still wasn't good enough. I'm drawing a blank.
Southeastern.
Right, and that wasn't good enough, and they didn't play that well. So I'm curious to see if they're able to kind of right some wrongs that they know that they've been doing. So it's, I'm honestly more curious about tonight. Tulane and Houston, if Tulane wins, they're bowl eligible, and they could be in the American championship game if the cards go right for them. So I'd pay attention to tonight rather than Saturday against Rice for LSU.
Yeah, look, and some Tiger fans are going to roll their eyes, but that's the truth. I mean, it has more intrigue, certainly, against Houston and Tulane than LSU and Rice when the spread is 44.5 points. And in particular, you could potentially see a case where the only thing you're excited about if you're an LSU fan this weekend is if you're going to get to see some of the younger players, some of the freshmen that get in there and play because you have such a large lead. That's the only benefit of playing Rice this weekend.
And you don't burn red shirts anymore. So
right.
I think that's certainly a plus and gets players experience that I think that's actually of the NCAA. We could talk about all the bonehead things they do. That's actually a smart thing that they've actually done.
Larry Holder of The Athletic, at Larry Holder on Twitter. Larry, what's on The Athletic right now? If you guys can give you an opportunity to tell folks what's on the site.
Oh, yeah, I got a column up about Brandon Marshall. Of course, he joined the team earlier this week. And Deuce Windham also has a film review of how Eli Apple has helped the Saints since coming over on a trade. And, of course, Will Guillory, our Pelicans writer, has a story about will the real Pelicans please show up, because we don't know what they are at this point. So you can go check all that out at theathletic.com/New Orleans.
Larry Holder, good stuff, man. We appreciate the time, all right?
You got it, Christian. I'll talk to you again soon.
You bet. Cover right. Saints and LSU for The Athletic, at Larry Holder on Twitter. We'll step away and come back. You can jump in the conversation at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Sports Talk here on Saints Radio, WWL. Text here at 870-870. Stop calling this LSU Rice game a cupcake game. Do you all remember the Troy game? Man, LSU fans still have so much PTSD over that Troy game. But it is a cupcake game. This is Rice. They are 1-10. Their first win, their only win, came in week one over Prairie View. Troy's a respectable football program. DeMarcus Ware. They've won some games. They've done some good things in football. Been to the New Orleans Bowl a few times. Okay. Rice, I'm not going to disrespect them, but I'll just leave it at this. They're 1-10 winless in their conference. Getting beat by Houston 45-27. Southern Miss beat them 40-22. Hawaii 43-29. Wake Forest 56-24. UTSA 20-3. Come on. This is the definition, the epitome of a cupcake game. And it's across the board in college football this second to last weekend of the college football regular season. That's the way programs do it. They've been grinding on each other in conference games for 4 and 5 weeks. Time to catch a little bit of a break. Don't worry, Rice is going to be compensated well. They're getting a $1.4 million payday to go down there and get their brains beat in by LSU. It is a cupcake game. Just recognize it. This is not Troy. I mean, for LSU, they're favored by 44.5 points. LSU would have to turn the ball over literally 10 times on just about every possession and not win this game. It's not going to happen. Get Troy out of your mind. Don't worry about it. It is a cupcake game. It's an opportunity for some of the younger players to get some playing time, some snaps for next year, maybe a bowl game. You don't burn a red shirt. You might see Miles Brennan. I would imagine you will see Miles Brennan in this ball game. But don't get upset that it is a cupcake game, because it is. Do you believe in the Vegas jinx? The Saints are now co-favorites with the Rams to win the Super Bowl. 504-260-1870, text 870-870. Our view from Vegas coming up with Vegas Runner at 5:10. I got to give him some grief about his pick last week, picking against the Saints on the road against the Cincinnati Bengals. They were favored by, I think, 4.5. He picked the Bengals to win and cover. The Saints turned out a 37-point difference beatdown, 51-14. Over the Bengals. Nervous about this game this Sunday against the defending Super Bowl champion Eagles, 4-5, wounded. Kind of a team back against the wall. Or you think the Saints are just that much better at 8.5 points? Will they cover the spread? 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Christian Garrick here on Sports Talk on Saints Radio, WWL. Out here at Hooters on Vets and Metairie, enjoying a scenery out here in a nice cool air. Fall has arrived. Charlie in the parish. What's going on, Charlie? You're on WWL.
I like that cupcake. Hey, Christian. Good evening, brother.
Good evening.
We were in Tiger Stadium last year for that cupcake Troy. Yeah, that was a cupcake.
Yeah, I get it. But I wouldn't even say it's like the crumbs of a cupcake. I mean, talking about rice.
Yeah.
I mean, they are 1-10.
I know, but the LSU offense has really went downhill since the Georgia game.
Yep.
Burrow went like 9 or 10 quarters without throwing a touchdown pass till he threw one against Arkansas last week. And listen, I'm at every LSU game, dude. There's no bigger Tiger fan than this. But you know what? I'm a realist, too. We need to get a quarterback. You know, and I know Ogeron, that's what he's known for, recruiting. But why haven't we had Danny Etling last year in Matt Canada, and we looked atrocious against Troy. Steve Ensminger was supposed to be the man this year. And, dude, we're regressing as the season goes along. Am I right, Christian?
I think you regressed offensively, and Coach O even acknowledged it, saying that somehow, some way, they've lost their identity since that Georgia game. And I think some of that has to do with, you know, look, when you get humbled and shut out by Alabama, that'll make you tuck your tail between your legs pretty quickly and start making you question your confidence and question what you're doing. But Alabama does that to a lot of teams. I think some of it just has to do with confidence. They need to get their confidence back.
Alabama does that to everybody, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I hope we'll see something good, you know, because we still have a lot to play for. Hey, listen, Texas A&M is a good team. I can't believe that they're still playing as bad as they are under,
Jimbo.
What's his name out there?
Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo, yeah. But, you know, we're tough. We could still get a New Year's Day game.
Hey, you're on pace. You're on pace for a 10-win season and be a New Year's Six bowl game. If I'd have told you that back in August and in July, every LSU fan would have taken that, that's for sure, especially when they were projected to win the over and under was 7. And, look, I've got egg all over my face. I ate crow. I did not project the Tigers to win 10 games. Hats off to Coach O if they do it. Hats off to that LSU program if they do it. They should get to 9 wins. They're playing Rice this week. But if they beat Texas A&M the following week to close out the season and get a New Year's Six bowl game, win that, heck of a season. Thanks for the phone call. Gary, what's going on, Gary? You're on WWL.
Well, I just wanted to get your opinion on how hard is it for these receivers to break into the lineup? They brought the receiver in from the practice squad the last game, number 18. I don't know his name.
Keith Kirkwood?
He looked like he wasn't overwhelmed with the game. And he made at least three good catches that I can remember in some yards after catch.
First off, he was on the practice squad, so that helps. He was in training camp, OTAs, practice squad throughout the regular season, and they gave it to him in small doses. They didn't ask a whole lot of him, a lot like they're going to do with Brandon Marshall this Sunday if he plays. They're not going to give him the entire playbook, playing the X, Y, or Z. They're going to give him one spot. He's going to play that, a handful of routes, handful of plays. That's what you do with players that are new to your system. Keith Kirkwood is a rookie. Same smart approach from the coaching staff.
Because it just seems like, you don't know. I mean, he could be another Michael Thomas for all you know, but as long as he's sitting back on the practice squad, it's going to be hard to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Saints just do an outstanding job of making sure even when they're, got a player on the practice squad or in OTAs, they do a good enough job, a really good job of mixing in the reps. You'll see it. You guys don't get to go to OTAs, and maybe you don't always get to go to some of the training camp practices, but I think the Saints do a great job of getting some of those players that are likely landing on the practice squad or going to be reserves some opportunities with the ones in the preseason and in training camp that helps for situations like this. That's why Keith Kirkwood was able to handle it this past Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals and play a little bit of a role. Thanks for the phone call, Gary. Coming up in about 10 minutes, our view from Vegas with Vegas runner, pro sports bettor and handicapper, next here on Saints Radio, WWL.